Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, our famous hope. Hope, one of those words that seems to mean totally different things to one and another. It seems to have a biblical meaning, but also a worldly meaning. Often we associate the word hope with wishful thinking, a great desire. I hope Baylor wins their bowl game, whomever they play. I hope Alabama finally loses the game someday. I hope Dan gets a new phone because he needs a new phone because his old phone is terrible. I hope my son Truett remembers that finals start this week. I hope you bring me fudge for Christmas. I hope it snows late Christmas Eve. Hope. But biblical hope is not some fragile or flimsy wish. Biblical hope is much deeper than a simple desire. Biblical hope indicates a confidence we have in God. Our hope is built on faith in God, faith in His gift, the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Biblical hope is bold. Biblical hope is strong and true, and it's built on the foundational truth of the promise of Advent, of Christ's first coming. And hope was born there, and hope in the second Advent will be totally consummated. The great biblical theologian and writer, Dr. Henry Nouwen, was once asked, Dr. Nouwen, do you consider yourself to be optimistic? You consider yourself an optimist? And Nouwen said, no, not naturally, but I live in hope. You might call me a hopist. On this first Sunday of Advent, sitting in this beautiful sanctuary surrounded by family and friends, I think it's honest. It's easy and honest to be filled with hope. And yet I would submit that hopelessness is real. And even on this day in our sanctuary, in some of your lives, hopelessness is more real than hope. And it's been that way throughout all the epochs of time. There have been periods of hopelessness. We read about it in Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New. You know the long list we could begin. Adam and Abraham knew of hopelessness. Noah, surely, and Moses and Jacob and Joseph. They knew of what it was to not have any hope. And even King David, with all of his wonders, and Solomon, with all of his wisdom, had periods where hope seemed to vanish. Jeremiah told us, and Isaiah, and Amos, and Hosea, great prophets of God, as they awaited the Messiah, yet they had lives filled with hopelessness. In the New Testament, even after the glorious resurrection of our Lord, Peter and James and John experienced days of despondency. The Apostle Paul could have written a book. Paul, pastoring the churches of Galatia, Ephesus, Corinth. Let me tell you the pain of pastoral ministry and despondency and hopelessness. He knew what it was to lose hope. Viktor Frankl, in the book, and I've quoted this book before, the book From Death Camp to Existentialism, Frankl tells of his life in the death camps of Germany during World War II. Frankl said there were rats, freezing weather, freezing rain, freezing fingers, freezing toes, freezing warehouses, freezing outhouses, beaten by guards. The only hope, he said, was that the Allied forces would come and set us free. And in that particular camp where Frankl was located, there was a glimmer of hope that began to be connected to Christmas Day. It was a rumor, but the rumor began to grow in the camp that by Christmas Day, the Allied forces would be there, and the message began to spread. In the midst of their deplorable, deteriorating circumstances, the prisoners clung to hope. They struggled with their frostbitten bodies, and yet they had hope. They had hope. They were living and waiting for Christmas Day, waiting for freedom, waiting for release. Christmas Day came and went, and no Allied troops, no freedom, no release, no hope. And here's how Franco describes it. Immediately following Christmas Day, leading up to New Year, one by one, prisoners began to die, to take their own lives, to sleep through meals, sleep through exercise, and sleep into death. The Allied forces did make it to our camp, though it was 6 months later, and freedom was finally realized, but by this time, over half the prisoners had died from Christmas Day until that day of freedom in June. Most of those who died, he wrote, did so between Christmas Day and New Year's Day. They died because they lost hope. It's been over 70 years. We live in a new day, in a new time. But I'm afraid for many it is still a day and time of hopelessness. The problems in our world often seem so immense and so overwhelming. You know the problems, world hunger, this very day. There are millions and millions of people that are starving to death in our world. War, it seems imminent. Will it ever end? Maybe it's Israel or anywhere in the Middle East. North Korea, Russia, China, who will be next? Hopelessness. Before me this morning are great teenagers, but you know that teenage suicide is the number two killer of teenagers in the Western world, suicide. Number one is accidents. On an average, in our country, this year, 3,041 attempted suicides every day. Teenagers. Hopeless. The home, the family in disarray, hopelessness, financial upticks and financial instability, bear market, bull market. Just last week, those who had their hope in General Motors and hopelessness. School shootings this year, 65 discharged guns have happened in our schools. Some have been mass killings in our own state, and some have been suicides or attempts. Political angst and political anger, Democrats versus Republicans, people versus president, president versus media, no trust, no compromise, no civility, hopelessness. But wait, it's Advent. Did you hear the text that Dr. McCall and Brittany read? The Apostle Paul, Romans 15, may the God of hope. Some translations don't say may the God, but let the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 5, Paul said, yet we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. For suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not this fantasy daydream that someday our shepherd will come in. Hope is based on the promises of the Word of God. Hope is based on God Himself. The writer of Hebrews said, with strong encouragement, seize the promises of the Word of God. Hope in the Word of God. Peter said, we have been born to a new and living hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. And even the Old Testament prophet Zechariah said, return, you people, you prisoners of hope. I love a little book by John Maxwell, Think on These Things. He wrote these words for a day like ours on this first Sunday of Advent. Maxwell said, hope shines brightest when the hour is the darkest. Hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sweetens when bitterness bites. Hope sings when all melodies are gone. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. Hope listens for answers when no one is talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one is helping. Hope endures hardship when no one is caring. Hope smiles confidently when no one is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses toward victory when no one is encouraging. Hope brings the victory when no one is winning. Hope dares to give when no one is sharing. Hope always wins. Congregation, my hope is not enlightened nor extinguished based on the 5:30 CBS News. My hope is not propelled, nor is it put out by CNN, MSNBC, FOX, or even ESPN. My hope, Advent hope, looks at the facts and looks at the promises of God. And without denying the facts, without turning away from the difficult issues of our world, my hope lives out a vision of life based on the promise of God, trusting in the benevolent, compassionate, all-powerful God, that He's still in charge, that our God is still in control. Hope, Advent, hope. During Advent, Christians around the world will gather in homes and in families around an Advent candle. Pat, oh, that is so beautiful. They will gather around that, and they will light candles, and the candle has long been a sign of hope. And to light this first candle on this first Sunday of Advent is to say, in the face of the world, and maybe in spite of the world, that our God lives, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and darkness cannot put out the light. And because of Christ, because of light and that life, hope lives. Bible says, for hope does not disappoint us, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isaiah the prophet. Dr. McCall said on his Bible that he always had, his Bible cover as a child, was the verse that he read from Isaiah the prophet. Even though youths may grow tired and weary, and young men may stumble and fall, yet those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Thanks be to God for Advent. Thanks be to God for the light of hope. Advent hope. It can be yours today. Hope. Hope in Christ.
Shall we pray? Oh, thank you, God, that this Sunday we begin a journey. A journey that will take us to Christmas Eve. We begin this journey by saying, oh, come, Emmanuel. God with us. God in us. God beside us. God before us. Oh, come. Oh, come. Emmanuel. Hope. Peace. Joy. And life. Oh, come. Oh, love of Emmanuel. As we begin these days of journey, oh, God, walk with us. And let us walk with you. And let us not deny the facts of reality, of hopelessness, but let us hang on and press on with your hope. Thank you that this season, oh God, that it begins in hope. It begins in hope. Thanks be to God. In Christ's name.